Greg and team, thank you so very, very much. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And again, our congratulations to Emery and to Ashton and their baptisms this morning. Baptism Ashton's this morning, Emery last week. And, you know, just love to see young people say yes to Jesus. Don't you? Amen. Just love that. And love to see young people say yes to Jesus because the Lord not only redeems us, the Lord protects us. And when you say yes to Jesus from a young age and let your light shine for years, it's just exciting to see what God does in the lives of little boys and little girls and young men and young women and even those of us, even who are a little older as well. God can use us all. Well, today I'm starting a new message series called Sex, Singleness, and Marriage out of 1 Corinthians chapters 6 and 7. And I think when I finish today, you're going to go, well, I knew that. That, like, you didn't say anything. What you said today, just it's like intuitively, I knew this. I got to tell you, I think the Bible is not only relevant, the Bible just makes sense, especially when it talks to us about our sexuality. It just makes sense. In fact, I may even put some words today to some thoughts that you have, and you go, I knew that. That's very intuitive. I've felt that. I've seen that. I've experienced that. I've watched that. And so I don't think you're going to learn anything new today, but I think it's going to be reinforced. God's perspective is going to be reinforced. I like to start with a video, and it's probably the shortest video I've ever shown. It's about 6 seconds long, and the theme of this video is be smart. Don't hurt yourself. All right, here's the video. Let's watch it. Don't. one more time. Oh, don't do that. Don't, no. Don't hurt yourself. Be smart. Well, that's a lot of what we're going to read today. Is don't hurt. When it comes to sexuality, be smart. Don't hurt yourself. At our house, Martha and I, we've got a fire pit and a fireplace. And when it's cool, you know, 50 degrees. When it's cold, you know, we may have a fire in the fireplace, but outside, you know, when it gets to be, you know, cool, you know, 40, 50 degrees, we'll sit outside at night. We'll have dinner outside at night, have a cup of coffee out there, got a little fire pit, and love to have a fire going because fire can warm. I love fire. Fire warms. But I tell you what, fire can also burn. And sex is God's good gift for married folks. God's good gift to help create and build intimacy in marriage. Listen, God's not anti-sex. God's anti-bad sex. God's pro-sex. He is pro-marriage, pro-spicy marriage. Fire will warm you. Fire can burn you. Sex is God's good gift. But when sex is taken out of context, look out. It can be extremely, extremely destructive, actually. This past February, there was a lot of tension on the campus of Yale College. You see, since 2002, on the campus of Yale, they'll have Sex Week, sponsored by several student organizations. Well, this past February, another student organization called UBYC, Undergraduates for a Better Yale College, concurrent with Sex Week, they sponsored a week called True Love Week. And they invited several guest speakers in. One of their invited speakers on this particular Monday night was Professor Anthony Esselin of Providence College. Now, Professor Esselin is a believer. He's written a lot about marriage. He's written a lot of things against same-sex marriage. Well, some of the more liberal student groups on campus that week, they knew he was coming in, and they sent out a number of emails. One of the emails read as follows. Mr. Esselin is a giant homophobe. So what are we going to do about it? How about a kiss-in? Find a partner. Find a friend. Find a stranger who consents. Anyone you feel comfortable sharing a smooch with. And so, here you have this Monday evening gathering on the campus of Yale. And by the way, this group, Undergraduates for a Better Yale College, let me read to you their mission statement. We believe Yale can do better. We exist, therefore, to advocate for a better sexual culture, one grounded in genuine respect and self-giving love. We exist to oppose campus attitudes and events that offer a degrading and trivializing vision of sexuality, and to embody the alternative in our personal lives to the very best of our abilities. We stand for a Yale where sexual objectification is unknown, where freshmen are not pressured to accept inebriated hookups as the default lifestyle, and where students' romantic lives teach them to love and respect the whole person, not just the body or particular parts thereof. Well, that night when they gathered, you had a number of the students there from this particular group, and you had a lot of folks there who were protesters. The person who stood and introduced the guest speaker said, ask everyone to at least show kindness and tolerance, even with someone with whom they might substantially and passionately disagree. He was wasting his breath. Less than 10 minutes into his talk, and that night he was talking on the value of a person, somebody started playing a song from Diana Ross, I'm Coming Out, and a number of gay and lesbian couples stood and had a kiss in, and then they walked out in protest. Now, that is a picture of a cultural clash, competing philosophies. What's your sexual philosophy? Back in 1991, there was a movie out called Grand Canyon. And one of the opening scenes is a guy driving a car. He's a very nice car, sports car. He's in a traffic jam. He's able to get out of the traffic jam, but then as he's going through, trying to find his way to his destination, he finds himself in a less than ideal neighborhood. And then his car breaks down. He calls for a tow truck. But before the tow truck can get there, he's surrounded by a group of thugs. And they start to hassle him. Then the tow truck arrives, and the driver says something interesting. I think I've got what he has to say here on the screen. He says, what he does, the driver of the tow truck takes the leader of the thugs, he takes him over to the side, and he says this. He says, man, the world ain't supposed to work like this. Maybe you don't know that, but this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking you if I can. And that dude is supposed to be able to wait with his car without you ripping him off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is here. I think when you look at prevalent cultural sexual norms, you would have to say, things are supposed to be different. And so the Apostle Paul, to the church in Corinth, and it's a culture, it's a hookup culture too, he says, I want to talk to you about God's take here about sex. I want to give you God's perspective, and I'm going to ask that you listen to it, he says. All right, so here we go today, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 12. Hey, by the way, do you ever see, ever watch a TV show, Dr. Phil? Anybody here know who Dr. Phil is? Okay. I've never seen a TV show. Not one time. Even when I'm sick, I've just never seen a TV show. I've just, you know, never watched Oprah, never watched Dr. Phil. You know, what can I say? If it's not on ESPN or History Channel, I usually don't. And I don't think Dr. Phil's on ESPN. Anyway, but I am fully aware that his big line is this. How's that working for you? How's that working for you? If as we go through this section of Scripture today and you get God's take on sexuality, if you're out there going, well, I don't believe that, or I don't follow, if you say, well, that's not my style, that's not what I embrace, I would ask you, how's that working for you? If you're part of a hookup culture, how's that working for you? Okay, here we go. I have the right to do anything. This is a quote from the Corinthians. This was, you know, I got the right to do anything, you say, but not everything's beneficial. I got the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything, he says. You say food for the stomach and stomach for food, God will destroy them both. In other words, he's talking to a group of people, even in the church, who have the idea that, hey, sex is just physical. And Paul says, who told you that? Who told you that sex is just physical? Sex is much more than physical because God designed it to be much more than physical. Well, you know, it's just, you're hungry, you get something to eat, you know, you're feeling the urge, you just have sex, and, you know, it's like, you know, your stomach's not going to be around a while. I mean, it's just like eating a meal. No, it's not, he says. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he's going to raise you also. Verse 15, he says, do you not know? Now, he'll say that twice in this passage. Here's the first time. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Your hands, Christ's hands. Your feet, Christ's feet. Your mouth, Christ's mouth. In other words, you represent Jesus wherever you go. Well, you know, hey, listen, what I do doesn't affect anybody else. It's nobody's business. Listen, you belong to Jesus. Your hands are his hands. Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. In other words, sex is for married people. Sex is for married people. You're not married yet. Don't have sex. Sex is for married people. Fire can warm you. Fire can burn you. Sex is great in a marriage. God's not anti-sex. He's anti-bad sex. He's pro-sex. He's pro-marriage. But whoever's united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. And then he says, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Any kind of sexual behavior outside of marriage, he says, run from it. And I have an idea that the picture he has in mind is of that Old Testament character Joseph. You remember that? And you remember how Potiphar in the Old Testament really liked Joseph, but Potiphar's wife really, really liked Joseph? And she tried to seduce him, and he had to literally run out of his coat. You run from sexual immorality. The great British preacher Charles Spurgeon said that there are some temptations that you fight them with a strong pair of legs in the king's highway. You don't see. Let me see how close I can get to the edge without. No. You run. Run as far away as you stay 1,000 miles away. You know, sometimes we say, oh, God, give me strength. I think sometimes your prayer needs to be, God, give me wisdom. Well, I'm so weak. No, you may not be weak. You may be dumb. Give me wisdom so that I stay out of slippery places. Flee. That means there may be certain people I just don't need to be around. Certain places I just don't need. I can't come up with rules for you, rules for me. He just says, you know you. You know those places where you are prone to slip and fall. And he said, run, flee from sexual immorality. Sex is for married people. God's standard is clear. You're single. God desires that you say, not yet. Not no, just not yet. So honor God with your body. And then he says something in this passage of scripture that I got to tell you, I don't know why this next statement has not been on billboards. It's something that you know intuitively, but it's amazing to me how that it's just not been talked about more. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Now, you don't need me to tell you that. You don't need a Bible verse to tell you that. You know that intuitively. Some of you, you know that from experience. You don't need a preacher to stand up and say that your life and your family and your brain and your relationships get more complicated when you take sex out of its context and use it improperly. And, you know, we live in the culture that says, oh, you kind of go with your feelings and boys will be boys and girls will be girls. I wouldn't buy a car unless I took it for a test drive. And I wouldn't, you know, buy a pair of shoes unless I would, you know, try them. You know, you hear all that kind of stuff. How's that working for you? That working well? Has sex outside of marriage complicated your life? How's that working for you? All other sins are outside. He says, not that, you know, God can't forgive this. Sure he can. But this has a peculiar gravity to it. Some of you know this from abuse. You didn't even sin. Somebody sinned against you. And there is a unique wounding that occurs. Sexual sin takes a toll on your own sense of self. He says, you swindle yourself. You swindle yourself. And you don't want to do that. Be smart. Don't hurt yourself, he says. Verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have received from God? Okay, I want you to do something for a moment. I want everybody to close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a moment. Some of you knew I was going to ask you to do this, and you beat me to the punch, and I appreciate that, so that's good. But go ahead, close your eyes for a moment, would you? Now, what do you see? You see nothing. But here's what I want you to think. I just want you to, in the quietness of this moment, just you and God. That's it. Just you and God. That's it. All right. Now, I want you to open your eyes, and I want you to look at your hands. Would you? Look at your hands. See those hands? Whose hands are those? Those are God's hands. Go ahead, look down at your feet. Whose feet are those? Those are God's feet. Oh, well, I love Jesus in my heart. That's good. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's my body, you know, my right, my. Who told you it was your body? Who told you that? It's God's, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you don't, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, be careful, little eyes, be careful, little hand, be careful, little feet. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you've received from God. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So, there's the scripture. There's the text. For some of you this morning, you may hear this and you're thinking, I fully expected that's what you would say. You're a preacher. I know you believe the Bible. I'm not sure I really believe the Bible. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to just take what I said today and file it away nearby. Because I think there's going to come a point in time that this is going to be important to you. Because if you stiff arm this, there's going to come a point in time where you're going to look at the mirror and say, hey, how's this working for me? And it's not going to work well for you, and you're going to need some hope. You're going to need a teacher. You're going to need a redeemer. You're going to need an encourager. For some of you here today, you're on the right path. You're on the King's Highway, and you're fighting the good fight. And you know, none of us are perfect, but you're in a good place. But there may be some of you here today, and it is time for you to embrace that wonderful biblical word that's not a bad word. It's a good word. It's a beautiful word. It's that word called repentance, which means it's that wonderful gift of God whereby we can make positive changes in a good direction. And gang, what I want to underscore today is that sexual immorality is a big deal, and it will wound you. And God wants to protect you from this and redeem you from this. My daughter and son-in-law and their three children, they love to go to the zoo. Love to go to the zoo. And they've got, you know, an annual pass. Aren't you glad you live in the greater Houston area? We have a fantastic city here. So many things to do. And they love going to the zoo. I cannot imagine them saying to me, Dad, let's go. Why don't you join us at the zoo on Thursday nights? Because on Thursday nights, what they do, they let all the lions and the tigers and the bears and the puff adders and the cobras, they just let them out of their cages. And they just let them wander through the zoo. And it's a lot of fun. Why don't you come join us? No! There would be no way I would want that kind of zoo experience. You know why? That is dangerous. I got to tell you, sexual immorality is way more dangerous. Not, you know, somebody might get pregnant or there might be a disease. I'm not talking that. It is so inconsistent with who God calls you to be. And you may be out here today saying, you know, I feel like I've blown it 184 times. What do I do? You run back to Jesus like it's the first time. And you're saying, Ronnie, I'd give anything if I could go back and undo. You can't undo, but God can forgive, God can redeem, and then God can help start the rebuilding process. And you may have to take some drastic steps here. There may be some apologies. You may need to get some coaching. You may need to just be smart, get some help. But here's what I'm asking you today. Stop walking around with something that's far more dangerous than lions and tigers and bears and puff adders and cobras. God loves you. And I know somebody's going to say to you, hey, it's just physical. It's not just physical. It's way deeper than that because God created it to be way deeper than that. To build that sense of unity and intimacy between a husband and wife. This is marriage territory. Okay. All right. I appreciate your patience today and your attention on a delicate topic. Let me ask you to take out your order of worship here for a moment and please turn to your communication card inside the order of worship and fill it out. We have a group of elders here who would love to pray for you over any particular prayer request that you may want to turn in. And also on that communication card, there's some information there about if you want to talk to someone about baptism, if you want to talk to someone about identifying with our church, anything at all, you can just fill it out on that card, and it would be our pleasure to have a chance to sit down and chat with you. to a group of people who felt the burden of guilt and the stain of sin, the Apostle Peter said, you repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from, not most, all unrighteousness. That's our great God. He loves you that much, cares for you that much. We're going to enter now into a time of prayer. Let me ask our elder couples who are here, if you would please, to take your places down front. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to just stand right where you are. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. You can pray with one another, but also you're invited to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples. It would be our privilege to do that. So why don't we stand together, and let's enter now humbly and with a sense of expectation into this time of prayer.